QSC, QSC, QSC. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to www.bbarc.org. That's www.bbarc.org. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio. A gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. None, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. One bulletin here is that there is a winter advisory in effect up here for the Big Bear area. If you're out there in the roads, please drive safe. Another announcement for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club is the annual Christmas dinner is coming up December 7th, Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, and it will be at 4 o'clock at the Senior Center up here in Big Bear. All right, topic for the evening will be from the December QST, page 35. It's an easy to make two-band HF ground plane. Kind of cool article using some ladder line, and we'll get into that in just a minute. Great article by Joel Hallis, W1ZR. But first, let's do our net roster here, starting with WB6CLZ Mike.
Me, Tom, in the net, this is WB6CLZ. We're still stuck down here in Placentia.
Well, you may be stuck down there. I'll bet you're a lot warmer down there. All right, how about WB6CIM Cindy?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIM.
And good evening there, Cindy. Glad to have you on the radio this evening, and Mike also. How about KA6CIA George?
Evening, Tom. KA6CIA.
And George, good to have you out there this evening. Hopefully it's not too bad down there. I know we're getting a little weather up here. All right, moving on down the list here, as there is nobody on Echolink. I don't think we're going to reach Harry and Nancy this evening. Let's see here. How about WA6IATC, Rod?
Yeah, from Windy Lake Williams, WA6IATC.
And good evening there, Rod. Very, very windy everywhere up here, I think. And congratulations for being elected to the treasurer position for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. Next I have is KJ6FIL Mike Redwood.
Good evening all, KJ6FIL.
And good evening there, Mike. Glad to have you out there. Let's see if we got KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary.
This is KJ6KDK and KJ6KDL putting on last week's Tech Tuesday as we listen.
And good evening there, Jim and Rosemary. And Jim, congratulations for being elected as the Vice President for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club for 2014. All right, moving on down our list here. Let's see, we'll give old Ray a call. How about WB6PBZ Ray? Well, Mike, there you go. 2 weeks in a row. I can't find him out there. Anyway, how about KI6IQA Kelly? I not hearing Kelly out there this evening. How about K9AOG, Stephen from Long Beach? Was Stephen out there? How about K6GVL, Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and the net. This is Ron, K6GVL from Green Valley Lake.
And good evening there, Ron. Glad to have you out there. How about AD6PL, Harold from Riverside?
AD6PL.
And good evening there, Harold. Glad to have you out there. How about KJ6RAY, Ray?
Good evening, Tom and Annette, KJ6RAY Mobile. Listening back to you there, Tom.
All right, Ray, glad to have you out there listening. Please drive safe as always. Well, let's see. I know he had a very important party to go to this evening, celebrating his wife's birthday, but let's see if Quint's out there, K6LCS. I don't think we were going to get him this evening. All right, I think Judith and Ken are still out of the area, and we'll move on down to KJ6PYV, Dave.
Evening, Tom and Annette, KJ6PYV, checking in.
And good evening there, Dave. Glad to have you out there. Let's see, not sure if he's out there, but we'll give him a call. How about W6POO, Chip?
Good evening, Tom. IV here. This is W6POO in Palm Springs. Very windy Palm Springs. And nonetheless, looking forward to a nice net. Back to you.
And this is KSSQ Tech Tuesday in the group, every Tuesday that we can. All right, I think I sidestepped here. Let's go back over to K6YNW, Chris.
K6YNW.
And good evening there, Chris. Yeah, we're getting a little noise out there, and I think it's from all the charged air particles out there from the wind, so hopefully you can hear us good down there. All right, next on the list, I have KD6LAN Bill.
Yeah, good evening, Tom, from a cold Boulder Bay, KD6LAN.
Yeah, Bill, the temperature sure is dropping, isn't it? All right, well, let's see. How about KJ6QYN? We'll see if Shelly's out there. All right, not hearing him out there this evening. Moving on down to the second page. And I have AE6CK Victor.
Good evening, Tom, and everybody on the net. Victor, Santa Fe Springs, and I understand the weather in the distance from last Saturday.
Yes, the weather is getting pretty cold here. Okay, so anyway, I'll get you more information. Anyway, good to see you Saturday there, Victor, at the meeting. All right, how about KA6ROD, Rod?
Good evening, everyone, KA6ROD.
And good evening there, Rod from Midrich. Glad to have you out there. All right, let's give, sometimes she's out there, sometimes not. How about KB6LTY, Christy? Not hearing Christy out there, how about W6JET, Rob?
To the net, W6JET.
Hey, Rob, glad to have you out there, and got a couple new names here that we added in last week. See if he's out there. Let's see, KK6FJE, and I think that is Zach.
Yeah, I'm out here, Tom. Howdy, y'all. KK6FJE.
All right, Zach, glad to have you out there listening this evening, and glad you could join us. How about KK6HUB? Let's see if Bob's out there.
Good evening, Tom, and good evening to everybody out there. This is Bob from Irwin Lake, KK6HUB.
And good evening there, Bob. Glad to have you out there. Got another person added in here was KK6CXF, or E. I'm sorry, I can't read my own writing here, but it would be Tom, and I believe he's in Riverside.
This is KK6CXF, Tom in Riverside.
Tom, glad to have you out there. And it was an F, I'll just correct that on my sheet here. Make sure that's cleared up. Glad to have all of you joining us this evening. And is there anybody else out there that would like to check in as a guest or be added to our list? Please come back to KF6Q.
W2PFA in Big Bear City.
Yeah, go ahead with that call again and your name.
Art, W2PFA.
Art, well, I should have that call sign down here permanently, I guess. You know what, Art, we'll put you on the list here. Thanks for being out there. Good seeing you Saturday. Anybody else?
WNO, Mike, Victorville.
Okay, caught the WNO in Victorville. Please come back for the call and the name one more time.
November 7, Whiskey November Oscar, Mike from Victorville.
Mike, good signal coming in from Victorville. Glad to have you out there in 7WNO. Thanks for joining us. Anybody else?
KJ6WFG and KJ6WIT from Big Bear City.
Well, it's Reinhardt and Margaret. Glad to have you out there. Glad you could join us and stop by more often. Glad to have you with us. Anybody else out there?
W6OXA, Diamond Bar.
All right, station in Diamond Bar. Diamond, excuse me. I'll get it right here. Station in Diamond Bar. Glad to have you out there. And your name?
This out here is Omar.
All right, Omar, glad to have you checking in from Diamond Bar. Anybody else? Well, I want to thank all these new guests checking in, and actually some good old friends have checked in, and we know you well out there anyway. All right, well, Mike, pretty cool article. This is from Joe Hallis, call sign W1ZR. And this is in the November issue of QST. Pretty cool HF ground plane. Okay, well, we all know little mini ground planes, CB ground planes, little ground planes you can make for the VHF stuff. Anyway, well, let's take a look at this. And Mike, you want to go ahead and lead this off?
Well, Tom, and then first I want to congratulate you for being reelected as president of the BBARC for another year, so congratulations on that. Yeah, very cool antenna, and what we have here is Joel had an article in the 2011 issue of QST where he made a similar dipole out of window line, and it became very popular and been adapted to a lot of the bands from HF to UHF. So it's a pretty easy to build and simple antenna. I guess that the original design could have been adapted as a vertical dipole, you know, with just a dipole in a vertical position. And it would have been particularly good for VHF-FM operation, which we're on now. But it turns out that the coupled resonator can also be configured as a ground plane. That minimizes the height requirement, which some of us live in HOAs or city lots, like I do here. You know, you have height restrictions and size restrictions, so it kind of minimizes that. Luckily, I have just about like the tree that he's got his mounted in here on the first page, sitting right in front of me. So I may try one of these and see how it works out for some vertical action on HF. See how it works any better than my trap vertical. Anyway, it makes sense. Let me reset here. Yeah, that way you don't have to have it as high up in the air. With a vertical dipole, you have to have it at least a halfway. Anyway, so we're going to try a ground plane and see how it works. Tom, why don't you take it from there and kick it back to me?
All right, anyway, as we talk about dipoles, basically, there's another name for that, rather old, but we're calling them dipoles today. And essentially, it's a two-quarter wave sections back-to-back and fed in the middle, typically fed in the middle. and that's a dipole. Well, anyway, monopole. What is a monopole? Well, that's a ground plane. That's a, what we call a ground plane antenna, and essentially a quarter wave element, usually vertical, and then we have radials perpendicular to that, you know, basically four of them sticking out. And they basically form this, what we call a ground plane. And electrically, what happens is that electrically, there's a reflection off that ground, and there's an imaginary, another quarter element, of course, below this, which, of course, isn't really there, but electrically, it looks like that from the reflection off of the ground plane. Anyway, one thing here, too, as what he has here, the ground plane radials are not truly at ground, okay? But they are actually, we're going to refer to them as the ground plane. So anyway, pretty cool stuff there. And without getting too complicated with this, you know, it's a good antenna, like Mike said, especially where you have height limitations. And Mike, pretty cool designs there. You want to go ahead and discuss a little bit about the figures here they have on the first page, especially the one with the ladder line. That is pretty cool. And the gaps. Don't understand the gaps. Anyway, pretty cool the way he has that. Back to you, Mike, from KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
Yeah, the overall, total overall, by the way, this is a two-band, I think we mentioned that, dipole, and with the longest one being your 15-meter portion, and the parasitically coupled other element is for your 20-meter band. And basically what they've got is the ladder line, and it's folded back. The reason for that is it saves a little bit of space. And actually, we're building this because we don't want to have a mounting height, a full halfway. We want to kind of keep it low to the ground. So what that does is those folded back portions reduce the height above ground and give you a little bit, the length that you would have if it was just a typical ground plane. Anyway, going to the next page here. As this is designed, if the ground plane portion of that was horizontal, it would be 32 ohm at the feed point. And as we all know, our radios like 50 ohms. So what you do on a ground plane is you droop that a little bit. And when you make that droop, it gets closer to 50 ohms. Any of you that have attended the antenna seminars when we made the little ground plane for 2 meters, we kind of proved that out. I think we had an analyzer on it. We drooped it down a little bit. We made one for Bill, I believe, and drooped it down a little bit and got it pretty darn close to 50 ohms. So that is how you get it to get to 50 ohms to match your radio a little bit better. Tom, you want to say anything else about that?
KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday and the group every Tuesday that we can. Yeah, you know, and just to kind of go over that a little bit there on the antenna and their natural impedance. Now, the impedance, of course, is always great if it is 50 ohms. We like to have that because that way with our 50 ohm coax, 50 ohm radio, everything matches up. We get that nice, great one-to-one match. And why do we want that one-to-one match? Well, that means that all the power going out is going out to be transmitted. If we don't quite get that match, part of it bounces back, and that's what we call SWR, which is standing wave ratio, or reflected radio wave coming back. And it's better, of course, if they go out and keep going out, obviously. So anyway, with enough said on that, yes, by changing the way the elements are, actually will change how it looks to your radio. We can check that with an antenna analyzer, which is pretty much the only, that or a network analyzer, pretty close to the same piece of equipment, network analyzer being a little more sophisticated. And with that, we can actually see what and measure what that is. Let me reset. And a little bit more on that, because these are radio waves at RF frequencies and all that good stuff. Can't actually just put a regular voltmeter on there or VOM multimeter and say, okay, let's see what the resistance is. Well, it doesn't work because this is actually impedances, which have to be measured in a different manner. So the antenna analyzer actually the best tool to have. You can pick one up if you want to work on stuff like that or borrow one, actually you can see this stuff. So anyway, with that, yes, by changing some of the way the elements are, like an inverted V can be adjusted right to 50 ohms. It can also be above and below. A flat top dipole, which is not an inverted V, tends to be around 72 ohms, and that's if it's a certain height above ground. All these things, Mike, this is confusing. Anyway, well, let's just go ahead and move along here, and obviously by changing some of these elements around, we can actually get closer to that, and I guess the only way you're going to be able to really check this out is with an antenna analyzer, and the best you can do is build it as they show it, and hopefully it'll come out right. Anyway, Mike, you want to go ahead and we'll talk about the coupled resonator.
Before we get into that, let's look down at figure 5 and figure 6 at the standing wave ratio for this thing. Very, very low. I mean, the maximum on 15 meters is still well less than 2 to 1. So very, very, very good SWR on this. It seems like it would match the radio pretty good. Well, as the original two-band horizontal dipole, the antenna was really two parallel ground planes made from window line. So he selected 15 and 20 meter bands for the model, and it could easily be adapted to other bands, especially the higher bands. I don't think we'd want to get much, I don't think we'd want to get much lower than 20 meters. Maybe 17 meters it would work, but any more than that it would become too long and cumbersome unless you had big trees spaced out. The lower the frequency, ground plane is fed directly with the 50 ohm coax, but no portion of the higher band is connected. So it's what they call parasitically coupled, and that just means that the RF couples itself to it. Tom, maybe you can get a little more technical if you want to on that. But the really cool thing is this antenna is less than 1 dB of being completely onlay directional. So the lobes are pretty consistent on it, and it looks like it would be a good omnidirectional antenna, which is pretty good for HF. And it works pretty well. And looking at these charts here with the SWR, it looks like it works pretty well for those frequencies. Let's see. He has even used it with a single radio rather than the two, but it's a little more directional. So maybe if that's something you need, you could kind of experiment with that. Tom, you want to tell us how high this turkey should be?
Well, you know, this is actually another thing here, too. Of course, as a general rule of thumb, the higher the better. Of course, as certain antennas get higher up, they tend to, after a certain point, they're not going to really do much difference other than maybe a little more range out there. They're not going to change as much after they get a little bit over a quarter wave or better off the ground. So anyway, you know, and what we have here with the vertical antennas, this really is an issue because height is everything, and the length of the antenna is everything. And since it's going straight up, it doesn't take long for one of these lower bands to have, you know, something up there that's 30, 40, 50 feet above ground. If you don't have that, then, of course, that becomes an issue. So inverted Vs are great because they can kind of, you know, droop down a little bit. And we can even droop the ends of these inverted Vs on a dipole. They can actually fold over a little bit, too. A lot of magic you can do with this stuff. And just before I forget, let me reset. If you really want to get into antennas and find out a lot, I suggest that you pick up a copy of the ARRL Antenna Handbook. It's ballpark around 50 bucks, something like that. However, this thing is worth its weight in antenna gold flakes, okay? Basically, this has a lot of information and antennas that you can build for every band. I mean, every band that the amateurs have, even all the way up into the microwave band. So, good information. You can also get a lot of this stuff online if you don't want to put the coin out there for the book. But if you can get a hold of that book, really cool. They put out a new one every year. Each year, a little bit has changed. You know, not a whole lot. Maybe after 3 or 4 years, it's always good to pick up another one. So, anyway, resetting. So with all that said, like I said, there's a gain here by folding the ends over. Another little magic trick you can do with antennas. Of course, you have to know what you're doing with that, and it's best to follow the instructions on this article or other similar articles. So, parasitic elements, Mike, basically, if you have a Yagi out there, anybody's seen a Yagi, you basically have one driven element where the power goes into, but then you've got other elements, many, or maybe just a few, out in front. These are called parasitic elements because they're not really connected to the feed line, but they do resonate, and by that resonating like that, it's like a tuning fork, it'll carry the waves and capture more and feed it back. So, but that's a topic for another night. Anyway, we'll put this all together. Mike, you want to go ahead and take it from there? This is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
Tom, but something we should mention is that these radials are an active part of the antenna, and you can have some pretty high voltage at the ends of those radials, and it needs to be, you need to be very careful, make sure it's high enough off the ground and insulated, and people in the area are aware of the fact, because that is a very dangerous point at the end of the ground plane. Are very, very high potential and hot voltage-wise. Anyway, yeah, he has it set up to, with the base of the antenna at 12 feet above ground, and lowered it so that the feed was about 3 feet, and the radial ends are about 1.5. I guess at that, on 20 meters, the resonance dropped. When he lowered it down like that, the resonance dropped 270 kilohertz. And at 15 meters, it only dropped about 20 kilohertz, but it's dropping in the right direction. So I guess with that, what he's suggesting is that if you're going to keep it at the 12 feet, which is what he recommends, you need to maybe put a little bit more length on the ends and on the antenna so you can trim it down. He says it's easier to trim than to stretch the wire, so I guess he doesn't have a wire stretcher. Hi. Anyway, there's no such thing, by the way. In order to his prototype, he used a particular window line, and that is critical in some applications because you have different variations of window line or ladder, so you have to kind of be careful. That's why it's good to have an antenna analyzer to kind of touch it up and make sure you've got. But he used Davis RF window line. That's using 18 stranded copper covered steel wire. Sounds like pretty good stuff. While other types of window line can be used, a different size wire or dielectric properties will have an effect on the final dimensions, and like I just said, so you have to plan accordingly. Looks like there are three distinct pieces to it, but he says it can, the two radials can be made from a single piece of window or ladder line if you strip it at the center of each piece, which can easily be done with a little pocket knife. Sometimes I'll use my stripper to strip it, and I'll cut it off so I get a good clean cut. But he used a common mode choke so we wouldn't get any common mode current on it from six slip-on ferrite beads. I'm going to reset here. I need also. But anyway, I guess he just taped them in place just below the feed line. Of course, there's other kinds of chokes that could be used. We all know about wrapping around turns of the RG8 around a coil, a sewer pipe, something like that. We've always made ugly balance. But the RGX8 that he's using, those little toroid or beads will slip right on. the design shows that the monopole and the radials are the same length. So if you're close, to being in the frequency, you can kind of just trim the driven element or the monopole and makes the antenna equivalent to an off-center fed dipole. And any unbalance resulting from the small difference will likely be eliminated by the ferrite beads, the common bone chokes. Go ahead, Tom, and wrap her up.
Well, anyway, thing here that he's used throughout this is a computer program called EZNEC. And EZNEC, there's actually a free version of it, a light version, that comes with, I'm not sure if it's in the antenna handbook, I think it is, and I do believe it's also in the radio amateur's handbook, and it's good to help you design stuff like that, and it's also, you can purchase the software, you can always go to www.easynec.com, and the developer is Roy Leewallen, W7EL. And this piece of software actually has been used for a long time now, predicting and helping to design an antenna. So if you had a certain idea of what you want to do and you thought, well, let's just throw this thing off in this direction and set this at this length, and what will that do? Who knows, right? Well, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good piece of software for predicting everything from actually launch patterns and gain and different factors. And with that said, it's very useful in design or just analyzing something that you have and maybe you've made a change. So pretty cool tool, another software tool there. And with that, let me reset. Quite often in a lot of the articles they have on antennas that have been designed by the article's author, you'll see reference to this program. And like I said, there are some free versions of that out there that are light. They actually come with some of these books that you can buy. And you can actually buy the full version of it outright. A whole science in itself on that. But what we can do for this article here is look at what it predicted. Very low SWR in both bands. Good launch angle out there. Pretty cool. As we all know, there is a world of stuff out there you can do with the HF bands, and actually just about any of the bands. So this is all just another way of making a great antenna and using ladder line. I'm sure it could also be done with straight wire, but I think he chose the ladder line. He probably had a lot of it. There you go. There's one reason. Anyway, anybody out there, any questions or comments, please come back to KF6Q.
The comments.
Yes, Mike, go ahead.
Getting my antenna book now and trying to find out, but the CD-ROM in the back, I know that has antenna modeling software, and I believe it's got EZNEC in there. I know it does for Yagi's. Have you looked at that, ever looked at the CD-ROM in the back of the antenna book? I haven't had a chance to.
Are we supposed to put it in a computer? Because it looked pretty. No, I'm just kidding. I know there is a copy of it on there, and it's a light version. And, of course, it's not the full-fledged version. So it lets you play around with limited design. But it's pretty cool. And, you know, like I said, you know, it's neat. It's a good analyzing program. And actually, at this date, I don't really know of any other one out there. There might be. But light, pretty cool. So anyway, like I said, it's at www.easynec.com, and I'm sure he's got a lot of information there, so he may even have a light version there on his site. I'm not sure. Anyway, Mike, go ahead.
Yep, that does go in a computer, and it is pretty and shiny. It keeps the birds off your trees, too, if you don't want to use it. Anyway, yeah, I'll have to put this thing in the computer and see it in the next few days and see if it does have that in it, because I know it's supposed to have quite a bit of information. I just have never needed it. Okay, back to you, Tom. Let's see if anybody else has any questions or comments.
You know, and also, like I said, we've used a lot of just off-the-cuff experimentation, which basically before computers and before all this fancy software, hey, hams were doing this for years, so didn't have to have the software to do it. It just kind of helped. Anyway, anybody out there, any questions or comments, please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, in the group.
KJ6KDL.
Yes, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, I bought the antenna handbook a few years ago, and I have EZ-NEC ARL version 2007 by Roy Lewallen, W7EL, on my computer. However, updating to Windows 8.1 has messed up the license. It looks like I have to reinstall it.
Ah, good old updates. Aren't they great? Well, fantastic. And like I said, it's pretty neat. And if you don't get that deep into this stuff, like I said, there's a lot of good information on the net. I mean, there is not only a lot of good information, there is a huge amount of information on antennas. And if I know that we had a couple of people out there, I think Bob was one, KK6HUB, was going to work on building a Yagi. Great information advice to him by Bill, KK6LAN. With all that said, research some stuff out there, you will be amazed. Best thing to do is go to a bunch of different sources and compare notes, and you'll find that the majority of them will kind of hover around certain dimensions, and best to stick with that. Also, make sure that mechanically of putting something together you're able to do with the tools you have and stuff like that. So, anyway, all good stuff. Anyway, thanks, Jim, for that. Anybody else, any questions or comments? And go ahead.
If we ever get our schedules together and have another antenna workshop, I think this would be a good one to produce, because it could be easily reproduced. You could even cut the ladder line, you know, ahead of time and put it together. I think this is one that we're going to kind of keep in our war chest for when we get our schedules together. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, you know, and Mike, I think it's pretty cool using the ladder line. Ladder line, I think, was running around 30 cents a foot last time. I think we picked up some back in June, or you bought some for us while you were down there. And I'm not sure what it runs now. It's like anything else. Prices change. Also, there was another way to do this with old coax. And I know we haven't touched on that. And there's even ways of actually wrapping the shield on coax back over itself. That's kind of tricky, but it can be done. And there's some really, really cool antennas, and what they call bazooka fashion. I think that's one reason they call it that. VHF antennas. Lots of stuff to do. And it actually is, look in your junk pile, see what you got for coax and wire feeds and stuff like that. And I know that's where a lot of this design comes from. And it's always good to have. If you're building one from scratch, pretty much you can get just about anything you want, follow any design you want. Once again, any questions or comments, please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group. Well, Mike, I think that's a pretty good article this evening, and hard to envision all the math and the design that's around this thing, but the main thing is it works. It seems to work very well, and it seems to be based on other than a few ferrite beads, which is good decoupling, that keeps that really high voltage RF from coming back at you. And there's a reason that happens, but we'll talk about that on another night. And with that all said, many different ways to skin the kitty cat out there, or just leave the skin on the cat and put a coat on him, and he's good too. All right. Anyway, well, we're gonna wrap up Tech Tuesday here. And hope to have everybody out there again next week. Let me reset. QST, 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 this is Tom Fry, KF6Q, Net Control. The Tech Tuesday Net will be closing the net this evening at 7 hours, 40 minutes p.m., or 19 hours and 40 minutes military time. Glad everybody out there who has checked in, glad to have everybody listening in. always try to pull an article out there. And like I said, if any of this got lost in the wind there, if you are a member of the ARRL, you can find it in your monthly issue of QST. If you're not a member of the ARRL, you might think about joining it because for $39 a year, cheaper if you join for more years than one. All these cool information articles out there, great. We never even can cover everything that's in one magazine in 1 month. So just a plethora of information, and the magazine itself is worth the membership. Anyway, thanks for joining us. See you again next week from KF6Q in the group. Turning the repeater back over to normal use.